across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
One day, everybody was going to admit. Here's the thing. Everybody comes round and admits they like the Monkees at some point in their life. It's a fact. Everybody admits they like the Monkees. One day, I've had too much coffee on Windy Pops again. One day, everybody is going to acknowledge Hanson as perhaps the greatest band of all time. Right, enough of that silly nonsense. Let's do a serious show. What do you think about Brexit, Hanson? I think it's a great thing, it needs to hurry up. I also think it's an awful thing and we should revoke Article 50. It's a dilemma, isn't it, Brexit? I think it's, you know, will of the people, we voted for it. We should do it, otherwise, where's democracy? But also it's a terrible thing and I think we should do everything we can to stop it. 03444991000, what are you thinking? I don't care. Don't care about Brexit. I don't care. Everyone voted for it. 52% of the people who voted for Brexit. It's the will of the people. And if we don't do Brexit, Brexit means Brexit. If we don't do it, then that is like the pissing all over democracy. And that would be awful. And we have to do it. Otherwise, there's going to be riots in the street. And we have to do it. However, Brexit is probably the stupidest idea of all time. It's divisive to the country. No one voted for a no deal Brexit. So why would you even consider that? So we have to stop it at all costs. That's Brexit covered. Anti-knife campaigns in fried chicken. I think it's great. I think it's a great idea because obviously the majority of knife crime is committed by young black men. Actually, do we know that for sure? So maybe putting it in fried chicken boxes where we know significantly more young black men are going to eat them is a racist thing. But obviously, it's majority of knife crime is committed by young black men. So we should put it in put the thing where they're going to see it. But then you're making a whole statement about young black men eating fried chicken. And it's slightly racist, but it's a racial stereotype. So it's probably not a great idea. Okay, that's that done. This is easy. This talk radio host stuff is easy. You just talk about stuff. I get it. Hello, Liam, if that's your name, and I don't believe it is.
You're very rude, aren't you, Ian?
Can I buy your mum some flowers?
Your mum's dead.
Well, I'll go and lay them at her grave. That's how nice I am and unrude I am. I'll go and lay flowers at the grave of a dead woman who I don't know. That's how nice a human being I am, Liam. And yet you came on and accused me of being rude, and actually I'm the opposite.
I got told to listen to your show because you were a nice bloke, and I've listened to it. And good God, you were so rude.
To whom?
And just the people in general.
To whom? Give me one example, Liam. Give me one example of rudeness.
Alan. And he was trying to tell you about the crap day you had at work.
How long have you been listening to the show for, Liam?
Over the top of the pool, bugger.
Liam, how long have you been listening to the show for?
One day.
God, I gotta go back and talk to this absolute melt. And I really, really would rather cut this plum off. I'm gonna go and lay flowers at his dead mum's grave. She's not dead! He was making jokes about his mum being dead to score a point against you. Can't you see that? Of course I can see that. But that's how nice I am. Even though he's wished the death of his own mother to try and score a point against me, even though he's done that, I'm still giving this piece of trash airtime, because that's how nice a guy I am. That's how great a guy I am. I'm a great guy. And this guy, after, his name's not Liam. This guy's calling in from an anonymous number, withheld number. His name's not Liam. I know these things. I got smarts. I've got street smarts. And this guy, let's call him Liam. This guy, after listening for one day, so maximum of an hour and 10 minutes, he's telling me how I should respond to Alan Caddick. This guy, let's go back to him. Oh, we can't. He's put the phone down. He's put the phone down. That's what we're dealing with here, guys. Hey, Liam, welcome back.
Hello. Sorry.
I accept your apology.
Bop. I don't think I gave one, did I?
Bop, let me tell you do bop.
Skibbidi-bop-bop-boo-bop. Boo-bop.
Bop. Thanks, man.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Okay, we just really want to do proper show tonight, and no one is allowing that to be. So let's, now we can do it properly. 03 444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We've done Brexit. We've done anti-knife messages in chicken boxes. What else is in the news today that we can have a good old debate about? There's got to be something newsworthy that we can talk about. Vagina spas. Vagina spas. A luxury spa. Come to you in a second, Chris. A luxury spa is set to open in London's poshest postcode. Ow! The poshest postcode. Knightsbridge next month. Hot from New York. It will offer therapies from plumping and lightening to steaming and tightening. But these treatments aren't for your face. They're about for your vagina. I've kind of ruined it now by telling you that. V-Spot is instead dedicated to the business of tending women's private parts, the downstairs, the old VV, the old va-va-voom. The vagina vigilantes are arriving from across the pond, and I wonder if British women will fall for it. I'm falling for it right now. I suspect, though, that plenty will line up as excitedly for the expensive treatments as they will for the latest designer dresses. Let's have a little look. After decades of boob jobs, facelifts and Botox, it feels sad. Okay, let's find out what this vagina place does, shall we? Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Let's get our hands dirty and dive right in. The V, in case you're in any doubt, stands for vagina. Or as my youngest calls it, a vagina. China. Like the country. Though it also stands for Volvo, and represents all the bits that women shouldn't have to concern themselves about other than for medical reasons. Hey, nothing wrong with keeping your downstairs tidy. Even I am shave my balls. I don't actually. I get someone to do it for me. Serious things like vaginal prolapse. Following its success in New York, bringing it to the UK, Cindy Barshop is also a hair removal expert who founded the salon Completely Bare, at which you could laser your pubic hair into oblivion, and she promoted the vajazzle trend. We know that. Vaginal steaming. Here we go. We're getting into the services. Vaginal steaming, a method that was given the seal of approval by genital nut job Gwyneth Paltrow. But only last week was cited as responsible for giving a 62-year-old woman second-degree burns on a fanny. Flipping heck, man. According to V-Spot, it's steam clean. Now, I might get this for my mum for her birthday. It's her birthday coming up soon. She's actually going to be 69, so this is perfect. According to V-Spot, it's steam clean. It's only around £100. I can afford that. I can afford that luxury. Will harmlessly revitalize your uterus and increase your libido. A mixture of herbs is placed inside a steamer. That's not a euphemism, it's actually a steamer. Before being directed at your private parts while a technician massages your abdomen. Cindy Barshop agreed that the vagina is self-cleaning. That's not true. Wet wipes. And told us the steam was opening its pores and was held about 4 feet away from the canal. That's rude calling it a canal. Canals have got old shopping trolleys and fish in there. Next on the list is the O-Shot to help you orgasm faster and more intensely. Apparently a painless procedure extracts your own blood platelets, which are then injected back into your clitoris. And your G-spot, previously prepared with a topical anesthetic. Another V-spot treatment on offer is V-lightning for women who want fairer skin down there. Although even V-spot admits it's normal to have darker areas of skin, a combination of professional... We had someone phone up about this, a man. And this is true. Penises are darker than the rest of your body, right? Right? Not like, you know, completely dark, but they're a darker kind of thing, right? Okay, let's see what else there is. There are lightning creams such as booty bleach. That's something. I wonder if they do vouchers. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Let's go to Ian. Good evening, Ian.
Hello, Ian.
Halloween.
Hiya, it's you from Dundee again.
Nice to speak to you, Dundee.
Hiya. By the one thing that you just said, that my penis isn't any darker than the rest of my body.
I think it is.
No, it's not. It really isn't. It's the same.
Right. I'm going to ask, I have two women working on this show. I'm going to ask you to turn around, right? Because I'm going to look at my penis, right? And I am seriously, turn around. The camera, I'm going to go down a little bit. There we go. I'm going to look, because none of those cameras can see me, can they? Can that one see me? I'm going to go and move a camera, because there's a camera that might see me, and I don't really want it to see my penis. Go on, right. That one, okay, right. So, get your penis out, Ian.
It's out. I'm having a look, and it definitely isn't any darker than the rest of my body.
No, come on. Get your penis.
Put
your penis on your thigh. You're telling me your penis is as pale as your thigh?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't. You're lying.
No, honestly, it is, Ian.
My penis is about. Right, so my thigh is very pale, right?
Uh huh.
And my penis is, I would say, like, sorry, so my penis, my thigh is like milk.
Okay, mine is kind of similar, yeah.
And my penis is like a very milky latte.
No, my penis and my thigh are about the same, Ian.
No, I don't believe it! Show me! I do not believe it at all. You can turn around now, ladies. Only joking! terrible behaviour.
How you doing, Ian? I just wanted to give... To be honest with you, I don't have much to say. I just wanted to phone up and say hi.
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
Is that okay? Yeah, I mean, like I said, I had a few hard days recently, but, yeah. Not too bad tonight.
Good. That's what it's all about. You got to grab the moments where it's okay, and you got to hold on to them.
I know. What I was going to ask you was... Yes. When it comes to concerts, did you ever see the Beach Boys in concert?
Many times.
Oh, wow. Nah,
I did see the Beach Boys with Brian when they did the 50th anniversary reunion. I also saw them in the 90s about three or four times with Carl Wilson. I never saw them with Dennis.
Right.
But I did see them with Carl. What a voice.
Oh, I know.
Although, of course, if you saw the Beach Boys, in the 90s, there was always a really awkward moment where they would put on sunglasses, right, and gold chains, and then they would play, then they'd do this. Oh, hang on a minute, I've got to dig, hang on a minute, jump forward a bit. Hang on. They'd start playing this.
All right.
And then one of the Beach Boys backing, they didn't have the Fat Boys with them, obviously.
Oh, remember, yeah.
So one of the Beach Boys backing band would come out, sort of do a black voice, and then rap like this. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the Fat Boys and the Beach Boys. Here we go. Well, this is what I wouldn't normally ask about a band, but are the Fat Boys still alive? Because they weren't leading a particularly healthy lifestyle.
I'm not sure, Ian. I'm sure that was back in about 1987, I think.
Hang on a minute. When you called in before, did we play the Wipeout by the Fat Boys then?
No, last time I phoned, I was talking about my dead mum and my dead brother.
No, I know, that's it. I'm having terrible deja vu here. Hang on, just give me a second. Terrible deja vu. Anyway, I'm having terrible deja vu. If anyone knows where the Fat Boys are. Also, the Fat Boys made a movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Disorderly Orderlies or something it was called. It was a comedy. And I saw it, but I can't believe it was any good. So it was like, they were like Disorderly Orderlies, which I think is a Three Stooges or a Martin and Lewis remake. And it was supposed to be the Beastie Boys in it. But they said no, they kind of pulled out, so the Fat Boys were the next thing. Let's get the Fat Boys on the show if they're still alive.
How good would that be?
That would be amazing. I want the Fat Boys. Hayley, get the Fat Boys on the show. Not tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night. We've got Mike McCartney coming into the studio tomorrow night. Paul McCartney's brother is going to be in here tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
The Beach Boys, well, I loved Kokomo. Remember from 1988?
Kokomo is greater than that sounds.
I'm sure at the time... That was 1988, and I'm sure that was the 20-year gap between number ones in America. It didn't do so well in Britain.
Did it flopped in Kokomo?
Kind of a Christmas song
in
here.
Britain.
But I always thought Kokomo is such a summery song. You know, it's,
Kokomo is a great song. Ian, listen, nice to talk to you, mate. Thank you very much. 03444991000. Let's go to friend of the show, Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Ian.
Is your penis darker than the rest of your body?
Don't start now. Because every time I go over the shop, I've been over the shop earlier today,
yep.
And the manager said...
Get out, you've got a dark penis.
No, he didn't say that.
Okay, I was just guessing.
Because I have to have assistance over the shop.
Yeah.
Right, take him down the aisle.
Sir?
Right. And I can't believe it.
No.
She said, do you want to go down the... condom aisles or the...
She's always
aisle.
Offering you condoms.
Hey, yourself.
She's always offering you condoms. I would complain and get her fired. I would get her the sack.
I know,
that's sexual harassment. God imagine if I kept going up to my team that work here, who
know,
are women,
I,
and
I
get...
Could,
shut
I,
up! Shut up!
I know, it's...
Shut,
no
will you shut up!
I
shut, please,
I,
shut up! Imagine if I kept approaching my female team here and kept asking them if they wanted some johnnies. That would be sexist, sexual harassment.
No,
you may now speak. You may now speak. You may now speak.
You've got to have a laugh, haven't
you? You've got to have a laugh in it, otherwise you don't laugh.
Oh, good. I know. See, another female... See, they have a go at me. I thought I was only having a fill-in. Next minute, she's on me. She took my tough out.
What? Sorry?
Oh, it was terrible.
Who took your tooth out? The woman in Asda?
I don't go to Asda, I'll have you know.
Don't you?
No.
Here we go. Andrew says, my penis is darker than my knee. It is. Your penis is dark. And I think this is the same for women's genitals.
Well, it all depends. If you've been sat in the garden or been to Barbados or wherever you like to go, and if you sit down and have a... Unless you're, well, I'm going to say what I was going to say. I know your legs can be darker than your...
Yes, I'm talking about if your legs are their own natural colour.
Well, I've never really noticed that, actually.
Well, how can you not notice it? Your penis is darker than your skin. Yes.
I don't think so.
Now, I know you're visually impaired, so send me a picture of your leg and send me a picture of your penis, and I will tell you.
I don't think so. That's not going to happen. I'm not a conservative MP on Grindr.
Dirty pervert.
No, I don't think so.
Horny. Aren't your balls normally held back by your willy? Dick.
Why did you have to play that?
I'm David Babcock and I got my willy stuck in the Hoover.
Oh, I have got a slight problem. And
what's your problem? Let's sort it out, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Christ. I'm petrified, actually.
Go on, let's talk about it. Ooh.
I know.
Hmm? What's going on?
You're talking about... Your penis is browner. I've got... Oh, Christ.
Go on, what's going on, man?
He said,
what's happening, Chris?
have a sound scan. And, mind you, once they have a sound scan in injection, take your time now. And right, so why? So I said, right, I'll pay for it privately. I haven't got lots of money, Ian.
No, but you want to rush things on a little
bit. Even though people
bit.
Think I have. Yeah. No, I haven't got a bloody money tree in my back, and people think I've got lots of... I haven't got...
No.
Pissing me off now. Sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
So go on. So you paid for a what, privately?
No, I'm not going to pay for it.
Okay. Well, okay. So what's going on? I'm a little confused.
Well, I got a slight... I know, this bloody thing down below. I'm terrible.
What's going on with your balls?
I want to get it sorted out.
Have you got a lump on your testicles?
Yes.
Hey, man. Don't worry, they can sort that out really quickly these days.
Well, I want to pay for it.
Okay, well, hang on a minute.
I feel as then I'm cheating the NHS.
Well, you're not cheating the NHS. Have you spoken to your doctor? So you've got a lump on your balls, right?
He took the piss out of me. And I said,
well, that's a test.
I went in there, and he said, oh, sit by there. I said to him, excuse me, you never had visual awareness training, have you?
Oh,
piss out of me.
Yeah.
You really wound me up.
Yeah, okay. But so the doctor's checked your balls and he's found a lump.
I said, no, it's on the other. Yeah.
Right. It's on your penis?
No.
Wait, so hang on, I'm getting confused. I'm getting confused. Have you got a lump on your balls?
Apparently, yes.
Right. And so what has the doctor said about it?
Well, give me. A microsonic scan and with an injection up wherever it goes, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Right.
I'm scared to death, actually.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
And for the first time this evening, the switchboard is empty. So, you can give us a call if you want. I'm hungry. I had a Mackie D's on the way home. I got a feeling that's happening again tonight. Two burgers and fries. Here's the thing I don't get with Mackie D's. You always order a burger. I'll have a barbecue signature, please. Do you want that as a meal? No, let me just finish the order. Then you can tell me what package... I don't speak your language of, I don't speak drive-through very well. So let me tell you what I want. I want, barbecue signature. I want a Big Mac. They only gave me a cheeseburger. And I want large fries and a bottle of water. Is that a meal? It feels like a meal to me. Is that a meal? Feels like a meal. But is it a meal? I don't know. I don't mean no speaky, the language. 0344-499-1000. A sandwich shop fired an 18-year-old employee after here's the thing. All online news stories are written really badly. Right? There's no standards anymore when it comes to, in inverted commas, journalism. There's no standards. They'll print any old... Quick, just type it. Should I spell check it? And it'll be fine. Just type it and put it up online. We need to get it online. So I'm going to read it as it's written. A sandwich shop fired an 18-year-old employee after she was fired for gross misconduct for not coming into work when her beloved dog died because she was too devastated and physically sick. Gosh, there's a picture of her. What interesting eye makeup she's done there. I don't understand eyebrows now. Don't get them. Eyebrows on any woman or man, actually, under the age of about 37, I struggle with. I don't understand what's going on. First of all, they got too thin. And now they've got too thick, and like someone's got like a big, you know, the big marker pens, and just gone, have that, have that. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, she was fired for gross misconduct for not coming into work when her beloved dog died because she was too devastated and physically sick. Emma McNulty is now campaigning for bereavement leave. Oh, yes. In the case of the death of pets, after being left disgusted at the reaction of her employers who had asked her to find, who had asked her to find cover for her shift. She asked for a day of absence following the loss of her beloved Yorkshire Terrier, Millie. I agree. Seriously, when my Velvet dies, 20-year-old cat been with me for 18 years, when she dies, you better hope I take the week off. Otherwise, we're just going to have, we're going to have a whole week. Just this. When Velvet dies, man, this is what we're getting. Or if that's, when I start to perk up week two, what we're going to get. When Velvet goes, that's where we are. 03444991000. Having had the pet for 14 years, Emma was devastated when the dog died on Saturday. So she called her bosses at a local shop in Bayliston, Scotland, to say she would be unfit to work that day. Emma told Glasgow Live, and I'm not going to do the accent, I informed my manager I could not come into work as I was too devastated and physically sick to do so. Instead of being shown the compassion and sympathy stated in the contract, I was sent a number of nasty messages and told I had to cover my shift as no bereavement time was allowed for pets. I did not go to work that day and I was fired and left unemployed the same day as losing my best friend. This caused me extreme distress and sickness. Emma had been scheduled to start work at 3 p.m. on Saturday, but says she messaged her manager at 10 a.m. and was told it was her responsibility to find cover or else she'd face disciplinary action. After her search for a replacement was unsuccessful, well, there's a picture of Millie. After her search for a replacement was unsuccessful, Emma claims she was told not to bother coming in for her shifts the rest of the week before being informed over email she had been fired due to gross misconduct. Emma has now vowed to try to change the law so employers introduce bereavement leave for dead pets. I am totally behind this, man. This is brilliant. She added, I think it's disgusting how some companies think it's acceptable to treat someone in this way with no remorse. A family pet, in my case my dog, has just as much importance as a human family member. She was a valued family member and companion. I grew up with her and developed a close relationship that only grew each day. It's time companies acknowledge this and give, why did I pause there? Acknowledge this and give people the time they need to grieve with no worry of losing their job. I totally agree, man. Totally, your pets are like your family. What's the name of the shop? I don't know what the name of the shop is. I'm not going to say what the name of the shop is. So you're going to, someone's texting me, you're going to phone up and harass the shop? My goodness. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. Let's go to Val. Good evening, Val.
Good evening.
Good evening, Val. How are you, my dear?
Call
and
say hello.
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 Oh, yes.
Oh, what are you doing? You having a little fiddle?
No, just doing my jigsaw.
Just doing your what?
Jigsaw.
Oh, your jigsaw. How... Is that... That's not a euphemism, no. How many pieces are in your jigsaw?
324.
324?
But it's a 3D one.
Oh, blimey. I did a 1,000-piece jigsaw recently, and it was a lot of fun, and I was going to do more, and then, I don't know. They're good fun jigsaws. They take you to a very meditative, peaceful place.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. How's everything going, Val? I'm detecting a sadness in your voice today that's not usually there.
Well, not very well.
Oh, what's going on?
I suffer with costochondritis.
What does that mean?
Inflammation of the ribs.
Inflammation of your legs?
No, my ribs.
Oh, your ribs?
Absolutely painful.
Oh, bloody hell, that sounds awful.
It is.
Is there anything you can do?
No, he said just take paracetamol.
Ay, 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 ay. Well, you carry on with your jigsaw, Val. You have a good rest, and hopefully you'll feel a bit better.
Thank you, Ian.
All right, Val. Take care.
Bye.
Bye, 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 bye. What's this? Lance says, Ian, Elvis died 42 years ago today, age 42. What the hell? Also in other news, I'm 42 and need the toilet. That's outrageous. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God. The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on their hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tomorrow night from 10
on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Taking girl.
One day we will all bow down and acknowledge that Hanson are the best band that we've ever had. Hanson are better than the Rolling Stones. There you go. I've got more Hanson records than I've got Rolling Stones records. Add that to the playlist, Ray! And in response to your question, Hannah, no, we haven't got any plans to do any shows in Birmingham. I'm sorry. Seriously, Hanson are the best, better than the Stones. Yes. 03444991000. Let's go to Laura. Good evening, Laura.
Hello, evening, Ian.
Good evening, Laura. I'm a little bit windy tonight, Laura. I was off caffeine, and then I went to Rome, and I was bored, so I got back into the coffee. I drank a lot of coffee, and now I'm addicted to coffee, yeah. But coffee gives me indigestion.
Yeah, well, Rome's not the place to go if you're into coffee, is it?
Yeah. Well, they don't do lattes over there.
They don't. Well, they do, but you've got to ask them at the right time, I think.
But what? Hang on. Because I would go in, I go, can I have a latte? And they go, oh? And I go, oh, can I have a cappuccino then?
You get a glass of milk. If you ask them for a latte, they give you a glass of milk, I think.
Why would they do that?
Well, you know, latte is milk, yeah.
Shut up. Is it? Is it?
I know.
Have I just said something really, really stupid there?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. All right. I didn't. Does latte mean milk?
Well, it does if you're in Rome or in Italy, and you ask them for a latte, you say, oh, glass of milk. Yeah,
this is why I voted Brexit.
I know. Blaming coffee people, I can't understand it, yeah.
Laura, what Hello? Can we do for you at 8 minutes past 11 on a Wednesday night, please?
On a Wednesday, I tuned in earlier, and I caught the tail end of the horror film stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And as you said, I was trying to think of what that one was that you'd seen, the anthology. I don't know. There was one in the early 80s called Nightmares. Could be that.
Hang on a minute. With the greatest of respect, Laura, don't phone up to try and tell me what film it was that I'm trying to think of if you don't know it, and then just throw it. It could be this. Could be that.
I know. Not... Most of the anthologies of the 70s, really, so it would be...
No.
It'd be something like that.
Don't. No. Don't. Here's the thing, right? When I go on Twitter sometimes and I ask for, like, really specific technical help about streaming a camera or about an editing process on Final Cut 9 or whatever, and then people go... have you Googled it? Well, this might do it. Have you tried doing that? This might do it. I go, no. Guys, I've tried everything and I've Googled it, right? I still can't do it. Only answer this question if you know the specific answer.
Yeah.
But now it sounds like I'm having a go at you, Laura, and I'm not. Trust me.
No. Anthologies. Okay. Just to get that in that case, the one to mention is Creepshow, which is the early 80s.
Oh, I saw Creepshow on Pirate Video when I was, again, around about the same time, when I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
But it was a Pirate Video, so it didn't have all of the film on. So the last story in that, I think, is the guy who lives in that really pristine apartment, but then there's bugs come out of everything.
And
I have never seen the end of that. I don't know how that ends. I'm assuming it ends badly.
I think it ends with bugs creeping everywhere, to be honest.
Okay. Okay. Well, finally, 38 years later, I'm finding out how a movie is. I know Ted Danson's in it, and he gets buried in the sand, and he comes back as a watery zombie.
That's the one. That is right.
That was terrifying.
And of course, Stephen King is in it, because he wrote it.
He wrote it, didn't he? Yeah.
And he plays a hillbilly who finds a meteor.
Oh, doesn't his hand turn green or something?
Yeah, he turns into a plant, basically.
Wow. Is it any good? Because I remember it at the time being the most terrifying thing in the world, and I've still not gone back to watch it again to see the ending of the film because I feel a little uncomfortable. I do have a strong feeling, though, that if I watched it now, it would be a bit pony.
I think, especially now, 2019, it looks like 1982, and that doesn't help. Mind you, it does have Ed Harris dancing.
Oh, really?
There's one thinking back, there's one story which is like a family going to read a will, I think, and Ed Harris is in it, which is like, wow.
I don't remember that bit.
Yeah, no, great actor. And there is a scene where he's doing his disco stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not out of place at all because it was 1982. But,
yeah.
It'll be on YouTube. Ed Harris dancing is on YouTube.
Okay.
So that's,
but what's scary about that?
Well, if you watch it.
Okay.
His shirt, if I remember, okay. His shirt is okay. Scariest.
And this is this thing kids these days with your chainsaws and your sonic butt plugs. Back in the day, we could have a whole horror movie centered around a bad shirt.
That's, or at least 20 minutes of one. I mean, it's true.
Yeah. Laura, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you. Let's go. I'm just moving on because suddenly got loads of calls. June, Chris and Lavinia, stay there. Let's go to Dredge. Good evening, Dredge.
Hello there.
Hello.
Can I just say I'm making a personal appearance tomorrow at Clacton Rubbish Tip, where I'm signing my new memoir, I Was Once Retweeted by Danny Baker. That's what I'm doing.
I'm afraid we can't let you mention that, I'm afraid, Dredge, sorry.
I'm obsessed with Jess Conrad now.
That Jess Conrad interview, which is now out as a podcast, man alive, I was talking to my friend Watco about it, and he said, I can't believe how casually Jess Conrad talked about biting a man's nose off and kicking him in to the sound of his fans cheering his own name.
Well, that
was
nuts,
unusual, wasn't it?
But the thing was, I looked in the library for some sort of autobiography, nothing. I don't know if there must be a book, mustn't there, but I couldn't see anything. There's but anyway.
Got to be, I'm presented with a dilemma here. I've been given, we're not allowed proper cups in the studio because Paul Ross, once whittled all over the control desk and it ruined it, right? So we've got these like beakers, like these Tommy Tippy beakers, right? That have got mouth holes in so that water cannot leak. But the way this one has been arranged is the mouth hole is in line, Dredge, with the handle. So I can't.
Okay, could you draw a diagram of that?
Yeah, I could. Just hang on one second. Hang on one second. Yeah.
Just so I know.
The
you've got the...
There you go. Just drawn a diagram of it.
Oh, right. I get it. Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the problem I'm facing. So I've got to rest my chin on the handle. Oh, sugar. I'm covered in water. Well, that didn't work. Anyway, Dredge, what can we do for you this evening? Do you want to slag off a 16-year-old schoolgirl?
God, no. Definitely not.
Okay.
No.
All right. Just checking. I'm just checking.
No, I tweeted you a photos about half hour ago of an old Show Business 11.
Oh, hang on one second.
Oh, that's a good tune, isn't it?
Peter Cooper has just sent me... Oh, my God. He's just sent me the film. It's called Dead of Night, and it's Chapter 3, is Bobby. This is...
Oh, Mommy! Please, I'm so cold! I'm sorry. Sure. Bobby.
Flippin' heck, man.
Closet is a good place to hide. Isn't it, Mommy?
This is terrifying. God, he's got a mallet.
Any mallet?
No. Come on, man. Be serious. I just want to get to the bit where he says, Bobby didn't want to come back. This is it. He's just killed his mum. Spoiler alert. Baba didn't want to come back. That's how I remember it.
You lied, Mommy. Bobby didn't drown by accident. You knew that. Bobby drowned himself to get away from you.
God.
You see, Bobby didn't want to come back.
That's not quite how I remember it. I remember it as, Baba didn't want to come back. But that was kind of close, I guess. That's kind of close. Thank you for that, Peter. That has really made me feel very unsettled in the downstairs department.
Very nice, just as I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, Baba didn't want to come back, Dredge.
I don't think I've ever seen a horror film. Never seen one.
Have you ever seen a film that's got roller skating in it?
Escaping. What's that got to do with it?
Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering. I'm trying to narrow down the list of genres that you have and have not seen of movies. You must have seen them.
I haven't seen anything with roller skating.
What's the film with James Caan in it? And it's set in the future, probably set in 1999. And, they roller skate around a ring and they kill each other.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like my sort of film.
Well, then you're not the kind of person I want to hang out with. What is this called, like Thunderball or Thunderdome?
Rollerball.
Rollerball. That's a great movie.
Because those trailers, when they came out, I was only a kid when they came out, and the trailers were enough to keep me awake all night. I mean, yeah. Do you remember one called The Lost World? The Land That Time Forgot. That was it.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, I had that guy. The guy from The Simpsons is based on in it. That genuinely makes sense in my head, that statement, but to no one else. No one else will get what I'm talking about. You know in The Simpsons, there's a guy, I'm Troy, such and such. You may remember me from such movies as.
Yeah, that was the guy who was the main character in that film.
That was the actor that character was based on, I think.
Doug McClure.
Doug McClure, there we go. We're communicating, Dredge. We're communicating. Doug McClure is in it.
But I love films like that.
Yeah.
You know, now.
Is that the one where at the end of it, he's like, the whole film, it turns out, has been him writing a note that he then puts in like a yellow bottle, and he walks to like this icy tundra and he throws it into the sea to hope that someone finds it and comes and rescues it.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Great film.
They probably ran out of money.
Great movie. Doug McClure. Is he still alive? I'm guessing not.
Yes, he is. There's a really good magazine called Infinity.
Doug McClure Monthly.
It had Doug McClure on the cover not long ago. Yeah.
Mate, we've got some bad news. He died in 1995. You're spreading fake news.
Okay, I'm 15 years out.
You're spreading fake news. Is he still alive? Oh, yeah, definitely. Died February the 5th, 1995. Incredible.
Yeah, I was never good at math.
Outrageous behaviour. Okay. Did we, here's Doug McClure. Well, hang on a minute, here's Doug McClure singing. Let's have this. Here's Doug McClure singing on the Johnny Cash Show. Here we go.
Right now I'd like you to meet a guy who can handle a horse pretty good and a six gun, and I hear he takes good care of himself with the ladies, too. I want to tell you that he...
takes good care of himself with the ladies, too.
I'd like that introduction next time I come on your show.
Not a problem, mate. I hear he takes good care of himself with the ladies. What does that mean? He cleans downstairs? He sucks breath mints?
That's pretty good. And a six gun. And I hear he takes good care of himself with the ladies, too. I want to tell you that he can also handle a song just fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Doug McClure.
He looks like Peter Noon, doesn't he?
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, seeker of fortune, hey. Connoisseur of great wine, dashing through meadows of yellow and green,
down the dungeon, the summer dreams, leaving this great life behind.
Do you know that song?
No.
It's a great song. I wonder if there's a better version. He looks like Peter Noon, doesn't he?
He sounds like Doug McClure.
Leaving the Straight Life Behind. I know the song by,
Leaving the Straight Life Behind.
It does sound a little bit, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
It does sound a little bit fruity. That is, here we go. I can't find him doing it in good quality, but here's, ladies and gentlemen, would you please, with one of the catchiest songs of all time, please welcome to the stage the one, the only... It's Mr. Glenn Campbell!
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, a seeker of fortune, connoisseur of great wines, dashing through meadows of yellow and green, trying to catch the impossible dream,
leaving the straight life behind.
Sometimes my thoughts...
You wait for the chorus, Dredge. It's the catchiest chorus of all time.
Going out of my mind. Having a ball on a cup full of pop, treating the ladies to corn on
treating the ladies to corn on the cob. Wow. Here we go. Listen to this chorus.
Here we are.
And suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, a winking and blinking and blowing my ear, a running away with my mind. It's said to be in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind.
Some song, huh? Some song.
That almost sounds like it could have been a James Taylor song.
It doesn't it? Does it? You slow it down a little bit, get rid of the schmaltzy strings and just have him finger picking. Yeah, that is James Taylor singing The Straight Life. I would buy that.
But I'm not sure about the line, giving the ladies some corn on the cob.
Feeding the ladies to corn on the cob, I mean, letting them run around with my nut. You don't like it when we go below the belt, Dredge. I shouldn't drag you down there.
You've gone there. I've been dragged down.
I will lift you and I will send you on your way, Dredge. Thank you very much. Lavinia, June, Chris, stay there. Be coming to you next. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000, my first solo show in years, and do you know what? I'm drunk. Let's do it. I know you've all been waiting, guys, for a long time, but Chris has been waiting the longest. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Chris. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, for one thing, I think you've got the patience of a saint.
Yes.
After that bloke who you said was boring, I agree with you. Right,
George. Okay, I do like George as a human being, but the calls are very repetitive.
Yeah.
Very repetitive.
His voice was getting on my nerves.
Well, but, okay. Right. I mean, I'll tread carefully point. There, Chris.
I'll get to my point.
Okay.
Right. I was listening last night to something that you said.
Yes.
You're also saying about a book you've been reading.
The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. It is great. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Right. And you also said about got some people who don't talk to you.
Yeah.
Because you came out as bi.
Yeah. I've got three people who I was very close to who no longer speak to me.
Well, I'm in the same position.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, I'm bi myself. I'm bi. And,
sorry, when you say you're bi yourself...
I mean, I'm bi. B-Y.
I know. I still get quite nervous and uncomfortable talking about it. But I am making myself chuckle. So you're bi yourself. that means, so, but are you bi yourself? You're bi, but are you also bi yourself?
I'm bi myself, yes.
Okay. Sorry to hear that, I think.
And so it's actually some of my family who don't talk to me. The simple reason is, for the last three prides I've been to,
yeah,
two up in Glasgow, one in Blackpool, I've gone in drag.
Oh, there we go.
And they don't like it.
Why not?
Because they said I shouldn't do that.
But hang on, but being bi, I've not read the full handbook yet because they only just delivered it to me the other day. Being bi doesn't mean you have to dress up in drag, does it?
No.
And dressing up in drag doesn't mean, or dressing up as women's clothes, doesn't mean that you're bi or gay or whatever. So
I am bi.
No, you're bi yourself, you said. But like I say, other people dress up in women's clothes and it doesn't necessarily have to be a gay or bisexual or a lesbian thing, does it? It can just be you like dressing up in women's clothes. So I'm confused as to why your family... What were you... Okay, let's get down to the nuts and bolts. There's an unfortunate choice of phrase. What were you wearing? Describe the outfit. Maybe it was the fashion they had the problem with.
Black lace dress.
Beautiful.
It was a full outfit. Black lace dress.
Yeah.
A dirty blonde wig.
Okay.
Full makeup.
Beautiful.
Stockings.
Oh.
Shoes, a lot.
Yep. Sounds great. Sounds like a great outfit.
Yeah.
And so what did your family, and I really want to ask which members of your family it was, but I'm not going to because I would not be prepared to answer that question at this point in my life because I think it would be unfair, so you don't have to. But what was their problem?
I don't know, they never really told me. They just said, you know, I shouldn't be doing that.
Shouldn't be doing that, right. Isn't that funny?
But I wasn't harming anybody.
No. No.
I'm not harming anybody. I dressed up. I enjoyed dressing. Mm. I go to the prides. And I got a lot of compliments. But they don't pinch me anymore. So like you said, after reading that book, you were saying that you don't care now.
I don't care about a lot of things. I am learning. This is all still very new to me. This like happened like, you know, it came out. It's not a phrase I particularly like, but like 4 or 5 weeks ago. So this is all still very, very new to me. I am learning to be less upset. But there's one person in particular I was really close to, and I just think, wow, gosh, okay, that has hit me a bit. But I am not as upset as I would have been, let's say, 6 months or a year ago. So that is progress. I am learning to accept that it's their problem, but it does, one of them in particular, it does hurt a lot because I was very close to them.
Yeah.
And there's literally radio silence now from them.
Yeah.
Not allowed around their house anymore.
But after listening to what you were saying last night.
Yeah.
It actually cheered me up.
Oh.
I actually felt a lot better for it.
Oh.
You see?
Well, that's good.
So Basically, I'm ringing up just to say thank you.
Oh, nice one, man. Thank you, Chris.
And it's a case of, well, I can't please everybody, so I'm just going to please myself.
Here's the thing. It's all right to be selfish if it doesn't harm anyone else and it actually enriches your life. I was miserable by not really addressing an issue that has been an issue for me for... 32 years, possibly longer, right? So by not addressing that about my sexuality and the fact that I've acted out with men and stuff, it was making me miserable. It was the root cause of my depression. I think it's pretty much the main reason I took drugs. Both the drugs and the depression led me to be suicidal. And by removing the shame associated with that and by talking about it, it has taken away a lot of the pain that I was feeling. And I would have thought that my family would have embraced that, but and most of them have. I don't really have much family, if I'm honest. There's another story. The main ones have, but just these three, for some reason, have taken it as a great shame. You know, I'm bringing shame on them or something. And they won't even talk to me about it. So I don't know. And I'm really disappointed. But there you go. That's their thing, man. That's their thing. And I'll cope with my thing.
No problem.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, man. Thank you very much. 0344-499-1000. Good evening, June.
Hi.
June.
My girlfriend wants to say something to you.
What is going on? Literally can't understand a word you're saying. Have you fallen down a box? Fallen down a hole? What is going on?
No, it's more silly old phone.
Well,
better.
Is there someone there with you?
Yeah. I've got Rachel here.
Hello, Rachel. Right.
Hello.
But please stop spending money on fags and booze and pornos.
I've got my dog.
You've seen enough blueies to have it all up there now. Please save your money and buy a decent telephone, June. For the love of God. Because it's like speaking to a woman made of cardboard.
Oh. I might be made of cardboard.
Well,
you
mucky pup. Of course you do. What can we do for you, June?
Well, I was going to
phone up just to let you know we're all here rooting for you while cast away.
Now there's a really weird echo on your line. I appreciate you rooting for me. I'm halfway through the first one. It's weird, isn't it? I used to do this all the time, and I haven't done a solo show for about 2 years, I think, and it's just... I miss Boyley because she's my mate, and I don't know. I mean, it's all right. It's a little slow from me tonight, but I'll get back into it.
Yeah, and you made my night.
Oh, go on. What happened?
With Ilya Kuryakin.
Ilya Kuryakin, wasn't he fit?
Oh my God, he was gorgeous.
What was the name? I couldn't remember. What was the name of the actor that played him? He's a British actor.
David McCullum,
that was it. I think he released a record as well.
Oh, did he?
I've got a feeling that...
I don't know, I can't remember.
I've got a feeling that David McCullum. Let's have a little look.
McCullum.
B-A-double-L-M. He was the Invisible Man as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There we go. David McCullum. He's an NCIS... I'm sure he did a song. Here we go. Hang on a minute. David McCullum, The Edge. Let's have a little, I think this is a song.
The Edge.
Let's have a little listen. Here we go. Ooh, yes, baby. Be the greatest song I've ever heard in my life. Let's see.
I hope so.
This is very sexy, Jim.
It's like a big band, like, somewhere.
Isn't it? I wonder, is he going to sing now, or is it just this rubbish? Hang on, I'm going to jump forward. Boring instrumental, it doesn't count, David. It does not count, and it's McCallum, not McCullum.
No. It's McCallum, is it not McCullum?
It's McCallum, not McCullum.
Oh, well.
And it's McCallum, not McCullum.
And Robert Vaughan was Napoleon Solo.
Yes, and their enemies were... Now, was it Smirsch or Thrush?
No, that's James Bond.
Well, hang on, well, which one were the man from Uncle bad guys then?
Oh, I don't know, I can't remember.
I think they were Thrush.
It might be. That's nasty.
Steady.
Might be fresh.
Get cream. It sorts itself out, June. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's worth
it. Oh, no.
Sometimes it's worth it, June.
The cream on one pill will do it.
June, thank you very much indeed. There we go. So learning lots about June's downstairs. Let's go to Lavinia. Good evening, Lavinia.
Good evening.
All the ladies. If you like it, then you should have put your ring on it. If you like it, then you should have put your ring on it. Yeah, all right.
Well, what I'd like to say, Ian.
Yes.
I would like to talk about what it is. I don't know if you know the name. Quentin Crisp. Yeah, and he was sort of known in the 70s, and I actually met him at a bus stop.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and at the time I didn't know who he was at the time.
The Naked Civil Servant, wasn't he? Famous
exactly.
TV play yeah. about him, John Hurt, yeah.
Yeah, and at the time I didn't know who he was, but both of us just sort of, what's the word actually, clicked. At the bus stop, yeah?
Oh, damn it, neat.
Anyway, yeah. What? Anyway, we was on the bus and he was telling me bits and pieces and I was admiring his...
Steady.
A purple a cashmere jumper.
Thank you know, God that ended like that, yes.
Yeah, and he was very articulate, how he spoke.
Yeah.
I mean, he had makeup on, he had a hat. With a feather in it.
Beautiful.
And he was so smart. Anyway, we was talking. Then I was getting off the bus and he said to me, which way are you going? And I turned around and said, under the subway.
Oh.
You know, yeah, under the subway. This is what it is, right? as I've gone one way and he has to go another way under the subway, he said to me, "Oh, by the way, wait there." And I said, "Why?" He said, "I just want you to wait there." And he hid around in the corner in the subway, right? And when he'd done this, I just held my hand to my face, thinking to myself, what's he going to do?
This is
Then he reappeared with nothing on, only his jacket on.
What?
Yeah, and seriously, right, listen to this. And he had his purple cashmere jumper all rolled up and folded up, and he handed it to me. And he said to me, "This is what I want you to have." And
oh, but he was naked.
Well, when I say naked, he was wearing this beautiful, like, a jacket with a beautiful pair of trousers, like a suit.
Oh, he had trousers on. All right, okay. Well, that's all right. I was worried for a second. But he took his jumper off to give you his jumper.
Yeah, well, what he'd done...
Wow.
On the bus, it was in the 70s. And in the 70s, this is what I want to say.
Yeah.
People were trying to... People were getting confused with gay people, homosexual, whatever.
Yeah.
They thought everybody was like that, were paedophiles.
Yeah, of course. Like, well, it was only just been made legal then.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and
you're
what
welcome.
Happened... What happened? I wonder what he was doing in the subway around the corner, because he just said to me, "Hold on a minute, I want to give you something." I thought, "Oh my God, what's he talking about?"
Blimey.
Anyway, he just reappeared, right? And he just blew me away.
Sorry?
He held his jumper all sort of folded up in his hand, and he said to me, "I want to give you this." And I said, "Oh no, I can't take it because you've got nothing on, you know, because obviously all he had was his jacket on. He had He was bare-chested, right?
Yes.
And I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, what I want to say is that a couple of months later, I saw him on the TV, and I realised who he was, and I couldn't actually believe it. And also, he also wrote a book called...
that was The Naked Civil Servant.
Yeah, and also, he also wrote another book all about his life, and it was so interesting. Listen to this, Ian.
Yeah, I'm listening.
It was called, I believe, Manners from Heaven.
Oh, we go. There we go.
And when I read that book, the first couple of pages in that book, I only bought about a year ago in a second-hand shop or a charity shop. I found it, and I thought, God, that's him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I read a couple of pages about all his stories, sort of life story.
Yeah.
And do you know something, Ian? When I read the first... a couple of pages, it actually gave me goosebumps, because I could identify with him, because he was saying in that book he actually felt like an alien.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he said alien, you know what he was trying to say, that no one understood him. And if you remember rightly, in them days, it was so sort of difficult to express it to your parents or explain what's going on. And even if you did explain, people thought that you was either a nutcase or some bloody weirdo, whatever. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Oh, yeah. Well, I think, I think most of the people who listen to this show are outsiders like that. I know I am. I know Kath feels like that. And I think a lot of the listeners do. That's why they listen, you know, a quarter to midnight on a Wednesday night.
Yeah. And all I'm going to say, Ian, is that what I want to say is about that other caller, that last caller that was talking about his family, like, you know, don't really want to know, and he had this beautiful outfit on, and he felt sort of great, you know, and he loved it. All I'm going to say, actually, to that lovely man that actually spoke on earlier, don't worry about what other people think, just think about yourself.
Yeah.
I know it gets tough.
And it's tough, though, that, isn't it?
Yeah, but it is tough, but all I'm going to say, embrace it, all right? Just be happy and enjoy it. Don't worry about what other people think. Because at the end of the day, Ian, we own all of us are on this earth only a short while. Okay?
Yeah.
And what we need to do is, instead of worrying about what other people think, what other people say, and what's it going to do to them, all you got to do is just think to yourself, they have the problem. It's their problem. It's not your problem. If they can't understand you, then at the end of the day, they have a problem. And what you got to do, and what that other guy's got to do, is enjoy your life every day, because every day is an added bonus.
There we go, Living. Yes, thank you for that. It's tough though sometimes, isn't it? But I get what you're saying. Thank you. 03-44-499-1000. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03-44-499-1000 is the phone number. Steve has tweeted, Ian, are you going to give us more on your theory that humans came from Mars? I talked about it earlier on. It's not me like doing a piece going, well, excuse me, I'm a little bit windy tonight. It's not me saying, oh, humans came from Mars to do it as a piece. I genuinely think it. And I'm going to find more evidence. And I'm going to give you the evidence. And God damn it, you're going to think it. The lines are empty for the first time. This is not bad going, right? So an hour and three quarters and the lines are empty. I've got stuff that I could talk about a little bit, but I'm just sort of thinking, let's just wait. Let's just wait for a call, shall we? Let's just wait. The next call that comes in, and it's going to be a great call, I'm going to take straight to air. So 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number, and we're going to take the next call straight to air. And I'm just getting the vibe it's going to be something. Let's see if we can find some music to play while we wait for I know what we can play. Hang on everybody. No, not that. We're going to play this. We're going to chill out. Here we go. This is a nice bit of music. Here we go. Let's whack it up. There we go. We're just going to wait for a call. I just feel it. It's going to happen. 03-44-499-1000. Let's see. Here comes the call. This is it. I can just feel the vibe here. Let's go to line one. Hello, line one.
Midnight.
That is a meme. I'm not even going to explain the reference there, but that is a very, very cruel trick. That was not the call. That's a cruel trick. Someone made that call to my mum when I was like six, and I said, Mum, what was the call? And she told me. She shouldn't have told me because it, you know, it's over there. We'll try again. Oh, it's up the clocks. Here comes a call. This could be it. This could be the one. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian, it's Steve.
Steve, yes, mate. What have you got?
Yeah, I just thought I'd enjoy that music and have a chat with you. That's all, not got much.
All right, well, what, anything you want to chat about, or do you want me to delve?
Yeah. Well, I spoke to you last night, very briefly, about 12:45, about just saying I was just sort of starting my fourth step of the AA and all that.
Oh, yes. How's it going?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going well. Yeah, another meeting tonight. Yeah, I haven't actually sat down and started writing it yet. I'm just sort of going through the big book and composing it all together and getting, making sense out of it all.
I haven't done an NA meeting, I'm going to be honest, in, I'm going to say, let's just say maybe 5-6 weeks. I may even be a bit more than that. And so I'm going to go to one tomorrow before the show because I'm feeling a little bit, that's too long for me to go without a meeting. And I'm not feeling particularly like I'm going to, you know, pick up drugs and stuff, but that's how it started last time. So I'm going to go to a meeting tomorrow and I'll give my sponsor a call tomorrow, which will be nice. And just because there's stuff going on. How are you with anger at the moment, Steve?
Pretty good, actually. It's been 8 weeks sober and, I had a lot going on, sort of resentments and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I'm pretty good, actually. I'm sort of working it through. Yeah, I've sort of had ex-wife issues and other bits, and, I've had a lot of resentment for a while, but,
I'm doing all right generally with anger, but there's just, and I'm treading so carefully because I don't want to, it would be so easy for me, Steve, to come on and go, well, there's this person in my life and what they're doing is they are really, you know, and I'm not going to do that because that's unfair because that person doesn't have that mouthpiece, you know, but I'm struggling with someone at the moment. I'm struggling and I'm trying to be very calm and I'm trying to be very mature.
Yeah.
An adult about it, but I'm fuming, man. I'm really fuming. I'm raging.
Oh, mate. Yeah. There's a good saying, you know, try walking a mile in the other person's shoes.
I've heard that one. We are powerless over people, places and things. I will not get this person to change their opinion about a situation. Yeah. I'm being so vague here. I will not get this person to change their opinion. So, I just got to kind of accept that and just get on with my stuff.
Yeah. Perhaps they'll work it out. Maybe it's a time thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Life is hard work, huh?
Yeah, it can be, definitely. I've had a lot of hard work, but I'm sure I will maybe after, you know, when I wake up tomorrow, but living in the moment, it's all right.
What are you doing? The times you would, and I hope this isn't a triggering question, and if it is, you can tell me to jog on, because I know 8 weeks is still early doors. But the times when 8 weeks and one day ago you would have been drinking, what are you doing to fill the time? Because that's what, when I got off drugs, and I've heard this a lot, for the first couple of months, few months, it's really hard to know what to do, because so much of my time was consumed with getting drugs, then using drugs, and then thinking about how I was going to get more drugs, and then getting them, and it was everything. Being a junkie and an alkie, it's hard work, man. It's a full-time career. So what are you doing?
Definitely.
What are you doing instead? Obviously you're doing the step back and all that, but what are you doing?
I go to 2 meetings a day. I do a lot of reading. I take my mum's dog out. I'm quite lucky. I live near the South Downs, so I go up there quite a lot, get a nice bit of fresh air, and yeah, that sort of thing, really. Yeah, I find the days are quite full. I love reading. I've got the big book and other books that I'm sort of doing. I just never seem to have enough time, to be honest, although I'm not working. I've got plenty to do most days. And, I enjoy my own company as well, but that's good. Saying sort of the 8 weeks I've been going, I could probably, I've got like 60 new friends. Yeah, it's just amazing.
I love my own company. I went out for dinner tonight, right, with a guy we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, Bill Al-Zafar, right, who's a comedian, he's a really funny bloke. And we got on really well. And then he phoned up the radio show the other night and said, "Do you fancy going out for dinner?" And normally, I would talk my way out of it, Steve, because I'm not very good at having meals with people, and I'm just not very good in social situations. But I thought, on the spot, I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm trying to turn things around. I'm going to say yes to this.
Yeah.
And we went out tonight. We had a really nice meal, although the prawn crackers were soggy. And he wanted to complain, and I said, "Oh no, man, please don't complain." I got really embarrassed. But it was a really nice meal, and we had a really interesting chat about stuff, right? And he said, "Well, what do you like doing?" And I said, sort of tongue in cheek, "I like being at home on my own." And I kind of do like being at home on my own.
Yeah, that's great. Nothing wrong with that.
There isn't anything wrong with that, is there? But we're sort of, I think, taught to believe through telly and books, I don't know, that that's a little bit weird to want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate. Read a nice book, watch a nice film.
Love it. Watch Limmy on Twitch. That's what I'm doing. That's where my life is going. Hey, nice one, Steve. I'm glad you're doing so well. It'll be an inspiration for a lot of people.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you say you've lost a bit of weight and feeling good. Right? What was your sort of weight loss program?
I got quite sick.
What did you do? Oh, really?
I got quite sick. I had really bad stomach problem. I had a painful stomach problem that went on for a couple of months, and I lost my appetite. And I lost, it's about a stone and a couple of pounds, maybe. It kind of varies. And, you know, they were going to send me for all these tests and stuff. And that was it. Yeah, I got a stomach bug that I couldn't shake. Mm. And the stomach is gone. I think it's stress related. They wanted me to go for a colonoscopy next week. And actually, I'm going to cancel it because I've worked out that it's stress related and a colonoscopy. Mm. You know, they're looking to see if I've got bowel cancer, I don't want one of them, really. So I'm going to cancel the colonoscopy. But it's stress-related, so I just need to learn to not get stressful. And but I tried eating less, I tried exercising, and I couldn't shift it.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, mate. I could do it, losing the stone.
It's tough, isn't it? But remember, it's still early days, man, for your sobriety, so get a little bit more comfortable in that, and then you can start looking at it.
Yeah, good advice. Thanks, mate.
All right, Steve. Listen, man, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
All right, nice to speak to you, mate.
See you later on. Bye-bye. So I'm not going to go for the colonoscopy. I mean, I don't think I've got stomach cancer. I think I've just got, like, IBS or something. You know, it's... I was fine last week, and then today I was having a stressful text exchange, and suddenly my neck stiffened and my stomach was killing me, and I went, this makes sense, you see, I get it now. Right, we've got another hour of this to go. If you want to give me a call now, would be a very, very good time to do it. 0344 499 1000. Oh, I want to talk about this #NoFap. Does anyone know what that is? Someone sent me a thing about it, and I think I know what it is. Well, I know what it is, but I don't quite know what the purpose of it is for the majority of people. 0344 499 1000. This is Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.